This is Mikey Pod, episode 153. Today's episode features an interview with Corey Dargle. We talk about his new record entitled Someone Will Take Care of Me. It's quite an interesting album, which is, of course, why I tracked him down to do this interview. Before we go on with that, though, two things I'd like to mention. One, my website, I nuked it. It's back now, obviously, because you're listening to this. But it would not have been without the help from my friend Andy Melton, who is great with web design and WordPress and picking up pieces for stupid decisions that someone makes, like deleting their website. And it was a mess back there, too much to tell you. But he worked it all out, and everything's nice and pretty and organized. So thank you, Andy. If you need his assistance, please stop by andymelton.net. Also, Gavin Castleton, who you probably know if you've been listening to the show for any time at all, is working on finishing his latest record, and he needs some money. So if you go to kickstarter.com/projects/Gavin Castleton, you can pledge to help out with this expense. So there's a video there that talks about it and all that stuff. So the kind of cool thing is, if you want, with different levels of support, you get different levels of free stuff. So check that out. There will also be a link for that in the show notes. So let's go on with Corey Dargle. After we hear from him, this song... What? This is called Everybody Says I'm Beautiful. It's from the album Someone Will Take Care of Me by Corey Dargle, who will be joining us after this.
My hair is no longer blonde. My lips are no longer red. And that totally breaks my heart. Got almost no hair on my head. I look a little more dumb than smart. I'd almost rather be dead than watch my body fall apart. My mommy says I'm beautiful. My daddy says I'm beautiful. Well, everybody says I'm beautiful. What a sight I am to behold. I couldn't look any queerer. The end is ever nearer. I'm getting older every time I look in the mirror. My mommy says I'm beautiful. My daddy says I'm beautiful. Everybody says I'm beautiful. My girlfriend says, everybody says.
That was Everybody Says I'm Beautiful from Corey Dargle, who is with me now in the Corey Dargle house. Welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Tell me about your background as a composer.
I went to study music at Interlochen Arts Academy, which is a high school, an arts boarding school in northern Michigan. And I went there actually, you know, partly because I was interested in composing music and studying it there, but mostly to get out of South Texas. I was a closeted gay guy growing up in a religious town and a religious family. And my family has come a long way since then, but at the time I was pretty suffocated. And so I left to go to Interlochen thinking that maybe there would be other gay people there or out gay people there that I could you know, befriend and connect with. And then it also happened to be a great place to study music. So those were the two main reasons I left Texas. And from there I went to Oberlin Conservatory, where I studied with the amazing John Luther Adams, who was a great mentor to me, although his music is absolutely nothing like my music. And but he was such a great teacher, able to meet me where I was and ask me the right questions and get myself to ask myself the right questions about why I was doing what I was doing and what I was doing. And my background isn't particularly interesting, but that's the nutshell of it.
So at Interlochen, did you meet a lot of out gay people?
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a culture shock for me, both artistically and personally, because I just wasn't exposed to any other composers in the town where I grew up, and no out gay people. So both, like, being exposed to both of those things and seeing them as just a matter of course, you know, of course there are other artists, of course there are other composers, and there are other classical musicians, and of course there are other gay people. That was a bit of a shock to my system, but a good one.
So this album is two song cycles, the first of which is called 13 Near-Death Experiences. I got that right, yeah.
Yes.
So we heard, the first song we heard on the show was Everybody Says I'm Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is there a little background about that?
Well, interestingly, that was the first song that I wrote of the cycle, of the first CD, 13 Near-Death Experiences. And when I first started writing the piece and that song, I thought it was going to be a piece about all kinds of different delusions. It was only later that I came to realize that the piece should be about hypochondria, should focus on that. It's not really a delusion, I guess, but to focus on that disorder or condition. But before then, I was investigating all these really obscure delusions that mm-hmm. people had. And one of those delusions is called, I hope I'm getting this right, I don't have my notes in front of me, but it's called Cotard's delusion. Mm-hmm. And that means that you are absolutely convinced when you look in the mirror that you are not alive anymore, that you don't exist, that you're dead. And the theory is that it has something to do with a person's ability to take the different pieces of a face, of a human face, mm-hmm. and put them together and recognize whose face that is. That some people, after a traumatic injury, they lose that ability to recognize faces. And so when they look at themselves in the mirror, they don't recognize that that's them anymore. They don't see themselves in the mirror. And it's, so I took that idea and I made it more, I think, more relatable in a way that that we all look in the mirror and we don't, that what we see in the mirror doesn't necessarily match up to the way that we see ourselves in our brains, mm-hmm. Or, you know, the image that we have of ourselves. It's just that cognitive dissonance of looking in the mirror and thinking, well, that's not what I think I look like. So it's a piece about not feeling as beautiful as other people may think you are, or even as you may think you are, and looking in the mirror and seeing yourself as flawed in some way that you're not entirely comfortable with, whether it's physically or emotionally or character flaw or whatever. So it's a piece about that, about the difference between our image, our internal image and conception of ourselves, and what we're faced with in the mirror. Yeah.
That's what kind of grabs me a lot about many of the songs on the album, is that you're able to take these sort of disorders mm-hmm. and present them in a way that I, like, I'm repeatedly thinking, like, oh yeah,
right,
I could get there really easily. Like, I'm just a couple steps away from cutting off my arm.
Yeah, I mean, I find with hypochondria is probably the least extreme type of behavior that I've written music about. I mean, I don't think it's that much of a leap to become a hypochondriac, right. Actually. I believe as an artist, I believe that the more we can empathize with people, especially people whose behavior at first may seem bizarre or alienating to us, the more we can imagine ourselves in their shoes, the more we can be in this world in a creative and fulfilling way. I just believe intuitively that there's a connection between those things. And so one of my goals as a songwriter and as a creator of music theater is to show how these unusual disorders or unusual ways of being and behaving in the world are not all that much of a leap from normal conditions like loneliness and anxiety and, you know, loss of control. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from, I guess, in general. And every piece I do, every piece I have done, and every album I've made has something to do with trying to empathize with people who are at first a little strange. Or in the case of my last album, Other People's Love Songs, it was trying to empathize with the so-called couple next door. These were all love songs that were commissioned by partners as gifts to their mm-hmm. to their significant others. So that's a different angle on the empathy theme, but all of my work is about empathy, for sure.
So the next song we're going to listen to is called Impotent Teeth. Any comment about that?
Impotent Teeth is, I jokingly think of it as a palate cleanser in the song cycle, because it comes right in the middle, and it's probably the most lighthearted, funniest song of the set of songs, and it's also the shortest. And it's just kind of silly. It's just it's a song about how bad breath might mean that you have a very serious condition, which gets to this thing that when I was researching this piece, I would frequently go online to these diagnostic tools, mm-hmm. where no matter what you enter, it's like you're always just four steps away from an extremely serious or terminal illness. Like, so that bad breath, I actually was able to go from bad breath to infection to a serious, incurable kind of, I don't remember if it was cancer or something, but it was something very serious like that. And I just thought, this is, if I do this frequently, then I will for sure become a hypochondriac. And, I felt like hypochondria was even more relatable than I felt it was when I first started writing this piece.
See how my deplorable breath answers. You would wince and ask me to rinse my mouth out. To you I bequeath all my impotent teeth. Hold them in your hand. Try to understand. I can brush my tongue, but I cannot brush my lung. I can brush my tongue, but I cannot brush my lung.
So the second song cycle on the album is called Removable Parts, and it deals with a condition where people want to amputate parts of their body. Probably you can describe that condition a little better than I can.
Sure. It's I guess the shorthand is voluntary amputation. It's a song cycle about wannabe amputees. These are people who feel, who have a strong feeling that a particular limb on their body is actually foreign to them, isn't a part of them, and is preventing them, ironically, from feeling whole, from feeling like a whole person. So they have this compulsive desire to remove the limb, and it's not a fetish. I mean, there are some people who will mutilate themselves because they fetishize that. But these wannabe amputees are people who, they've been compared to transgendered people who feel trapped in the wrong body. And maybe, you know, to be honest, I've gotten a lot of negative feedback from transgender people who don't appreciate me using that comparison.
I've heard the same comparison, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unreasonable, I don't think. So they feel trapped in the wrong body, and they have a specific place where they want an amputation, a specific limb at a very specific point on that limb that they want to get rid of. So, you know, I was telling, when I first started making this piece, I was telling a lot of my friends who are totally liberal people that I was making this piece, and they were absolutely repulsed by it. They couldn't believe I was doing this, and I think almost all of them ended up feeling like the piece was much more moving and heartfelt than they ever thought it would be. And that was really my goal. It goes back to empathy, which I was talking about earlier, that no matter how strange a person's behavior is, it is useful to find a way to relate to that behavior. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. So in creating this piece, I tried to find, just like the last piece that we talked about, I tried to find ways in which this condition is only an amplification in some ways of a lot of other more common feelings that we might have. Now, that's not to be dismissive of these wannabe amputees' serious problems, but I think it benefits them and us to find a way to relate to them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've tried to do with this song cycle, Removable Parts, and I hope that as you're listening to it, as you listen to the whole song cycle, if you get a copy of the album, as you're listening to the entire song cycle, you'll come from feeling alienated by these people to feeling like you can relate to them in a way that may surprise you, but that I hope is heartwarming and entertaining too, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's what kind of grabbed me about this album, that it's so easy. You make it so easy to, like, to relate and to also see how close my own, like, darkness, I don't know if that's the best word to use, mm-hmm. How close I am to really being someone who...
Well, yeah, and I don't know if it's darkness so much as it is just things that you can't really speak about. I mean, these wannabe amputees, it was really hard to research the piece because when I first started writing it, there was really nothing about, certainly no medical journal articles about these people, and only after I started writing the piece did sort of news magazine shows come up with profiles of these people. There was a film called Hole by Melody Gilbert, who's either St. Paul or Minneapolis, I can't remember which one, apologies to the Twin Cities folks, filmmaker who created a film about wannabe amputees. Yeah. And I recommend it. It's really interesting. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah, but that these people were not really comfortable talking about their condition because, it was so stigmatized. I mean, obviously it still is. And so there weren't a lot of studies and there wasn't a lot of, you know, thoughtful interpretations of both what was going on in these people's minds and you know, psychologically and neurologically, and what could be done to help them, if anything. So I don't remember what I was getting at with this. What was your question again?
I can't remember either.
Oh right, I was saying it was not so much darkness as it was.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like things that you're not able to talk about openly.
Right, and I'm sure that's something that is easily dismissed by friends. You know, like if you start telling someone, I really don't feel like I should have my arm.
Yeah.
You know, like that'd be so easy for somebody, like, oh, stop it. You
right.
know, like.
Right.
So the first song we're going to listen to from this cycle is Castration.
Oh, you're just going to ratchet it up right away, huh?
Yeah, let's go right to it.
Castration. But this song comes pretty late in the album. It's not, I would never open up with Castration.
but I would.
Yes, no, you should. It's probably one of the catchiest songs on that album.
So I guess there's not really a lot of background to give on this.
I think this song speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And probably better to be surprised as you're listening to it than for me to try to explain it before you hear it.
Yeah. Okay, so here it is. This is Castration.
Your frustration, but for me, castration, well, it's an evolutionary decision. I wanna be more than just a breeder. I wanna be a leader. And sometimes you just have to know when to quit.
Castration. I always want to do these like station IDs as if someone could have tuned in late, but it's a podcast and they're not going to. But I'm here with Corey Targle, and we're talking
for those
about
who are just joining us now.
If you've been asleep. So one of the songs on the album is called Sincerely Yours, and it seems to be based on a letter. Is it a fictional letter, or did you really receive this letter?
Yes, a lot of people wonder if the letter is real. I think it's, I mean, it's no, it's not a real letter, but it's a letter that I created based on a real exchange with a person who had seen the show and was giving feedback. This song, the letter that you're talking about, is presented as a sort of complaint about the piece from a person who is a wannabe amputee. And it gets at a lot of the issues that I was having or the challenges that I faced when I was writing the piece, which is that I am not a wannabe amputee. I don't have those feelings. And so am I exploiting people who do by creating this piece about them? And, you know, that obviously is not my goal, but it's something, you know, perhaps as an Oberlin College student that I obsess about a little bit, this idea of authenticity and exploitation. And part of the reason I wanted to put this letter in is that I believe that as an artist, and I think maybe even as a citizen, that, you know, that I have a responsibility to try and experience or learn about things that I don't have a firsthand experience to, you know, to rely on. And I guess I have had in the past some complaints from people who feel that that if you don't have an authentic experience, that you can't write about it, that you shouldn't pretend that you're someone that you're not. And that just flies in the face of everything that I feel about being an artist and a songwriter and even a singer, because when I'm singing my songs, I'm not in the moment having the feelings that I'm singing about. Even if I did once have those feelings and wrote about them, I'm not still having them. And so this idea of authenticity and of not being allowed to explore something that you're not familiar with to begin with, I mean, of course you should do that responsibly, but I've had, you know, several experiences in my life where I have been made to feel afraid to explore something that I'm not, that I don't have firsthand experience with, and I think that that's not a very healthy way of encouraging people to open their minds. So that's a really long and sort of far too philosophical, maybe too academic way of talking about this song, which is really kind of funny, I think. So maybe people should hear the song and then they can leave a comment about whether or not I've gone too far.
Yeah. Should I play the song? I feel like I didn't plan on adding this song.
Oh.
But I could. I felt like I didn't want to play like every song on the album, so people would be forced to buy it. So maybe teaser.
No, yeah, I think you should play it.
Okay, yeah. Here's Sincerely Yours.
Dear Corey and Kathleen, please immediately remove your statement that my amputation was voluntary. 'Cause I don't need it coming up when researchers do Google searches on me. Thanks to you, I now spend all my time talking online with people I've never met and will never meet. See, I'm the one who's doing you a favor, and not the other way around. You may sympathize with my behavior, but that doesn't save your peace from being utterly unprofound. You're dragging your feet 'cause they're still connected to the ground. Sincerely yours, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes, no hands and no fingers, no legs and no kneecaps, no arms and no elbows, no feet and no toes.
From the album, Someone Will Take Care of Me, that was Sincerely Yours. So you just posted a MP3 on your site, a remix of a song. Tell me about that, because I honestly am not pretending to ask this question. I really don't know.
Right. Well, in 2005, I wrote a song about civil unions. Civil unions, as you know, had been legalized or made official in Vermont so that same-sex couples could have the, you know, most, if not all, of the benefits of marriage, of the legal benefits of it. And I have a friend, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I have a friend who did that, who got a civil union, and then needed to separate from, you know, from that union. And it was easy enough to get the civil union, just drive to Vermont and, you know, sign up to be unionized or whatever. I want to say married, but that wasn't the right word. Anyway, so unionized, and then it didn't work out. The relationship didn't work out. So, but the interesting thing was, in order to get the union dismantled or whatever the official official word would be, ununionized, right? One of the couple had to move to Vermont and have a residence in Vermont for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So I took that that concept and wrote this song called Move to Vermont about gay divorce. And in honor of the Proposition 8 decision by Judge Walker that was recently released, I decided to make a remix and post the song as a free downloadable MP3 on my website. So that is a total freebie, and I would love it if people could go to CoreyDargle.com, and you'll see it there. It's called Move to Vermont.
Excellent. And they will.
And they will.
So as far as buying this album or any of your albums, what is the preferred method of... I always wonder, like, for an artist like you, is there a way that you wind up getting... like, do you make more money from your album being sold on iTunes over... probably not iTunes.
Well, I think, I mean, it's funny. So many artists, I don't think we really understand completely how those sort of systems work. I think that you should purchase the album, however, whichever way is easiest for you, and whichever way you're most comfortable with. I mean, not that there's a way that you'd be uncomfortable with, but you know what I mean. So if you tend to listen and purchase music in iTunes, or if you use eMusic, or if you want to go to Amazon, I mean, there's a part of me that feels like the best thing to do is to go to your local record store, and if they don't have the album, ask them to order it. But I don't know if that's really... I mean, that's beneficial to the record store, and since record stores seem to be evaporating relatively quickly, there's a part of me that wants you to go to your record store and buy the physical CD. Also, I mean, I'm an audiophile, so there is a difference for me between the 16-bit audio that you hear on a CD and the downloadable MP3s that you can get on iTunes and eMusic. Now, if you go to New Amsterdam Records, which is the record label that it's on, you can download a lossless version of the album, which is much higher quality than the MP3s that you would get in eMusic or iTunes. So maybe NewAmsterdamRecords.com is the place to go to purchase the album. And if you go there and purchase a physical CD, you will also get immediate access to the high-quality downloads so that you can have instant gratification while you're waiting for your physical CD to arrive.
So we're going to listen to Everybody Wanna Be. And now that I'm about to ask you this question, I haven't listened to the lyrics clearly enough to know. Like, at this point, I'm assuming voice box is gone because we have a totally different voice singing in this song.
Yes, this is the final act of the, you know, of the song cycle about voluntary amputation. The last thing to go has to be the voice, of course. So this is a song about why it would be a good idea to remove the voice.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. And here's Everybody Wanna Be.
This way, to be unable to speak at all, because it's always been so hard for me to say goodbye. But now I do not have to say goodbye. I do not have to say goodbye world, or goodbye earth. Or goodbye rock and roll, or goodbye to you. I do not have to say those things. I did not choose to have the feelings I have, but I did choose to act on my feelings, and you should be more kind. You should not trample on the feelings of those you love. That is no way to behave. But it is not only you. Today, nobody understands the way I feel. Because nobody wants to be an amputee. Not today, but in the year 2000. In the year 2000. Everybody will want to be an amputee.
Everybody would not be an amputee.